Give me the fortune, keep the fame, said my man Lewis. I agreed, know what he mean, because we lived the truest lie. I asked him why we follow the law of the bluest eye. He looked at me, he thought about it, was like I'm clueless. Why?
Welcome back to the Black Is 10-Minute Break. Our guests tonight are Tash Mosley, talent manager and film producer. Jay Lewis, the Black Is resident educator. Chris Lehman, my husband and friend and accountant. Malcolm Darrell, freelance theater producer. Toria Williams, a Los Angeles administrator, and finally, Stacey Brewer, the resident Black Is counselor. Tonight's topic is Black brainwashing, our hair and color complex. Do we have one? Is this a real and true thing? And this is where this topic came from, people. I was having a conversation over here at the last podcast session with John Bird and the family about a sister who commented on our podcast on immigration. And somehow, well, the sister's perspective was so bigoted, it was shocking to me. And so I made a comment on Twitter that Black racist people surprised me. And so one of my Twitter followers responded saying, oh, to be Black and racist is not that surprising. You know, it's not hard to be racist against white people. And I said, no, I get that. I totally understand that as a Black woman. But when we're racist against other people of color. And she responded, oh, I get that all the time because I'm light-skinned and have curly hair.
Oh, wow.
I said, well, okay. So this is, I wasn't even thinking Black on Black bigotry. I'm thinking, you know, Black with other groups, but it did make me think about this issue of hair and color that seems to resonate so very strongly with us. And as an educator, I've learned it is not just our group. Mm-hmm. Pretty much any culture, any ethnic group that has a spectrum of color from light to dark, there is an issue of color. I think hair is specific to us. Although I do think Jewish people go through what we go through as well. There's the whole
Jufro.
The Jufro, yeah. and the issue of having that Jewish nappy hair. And so, right.
Which is right.
Right. I'm a formerly permed press girl, now turned natural for the last decade plus. I see both sides and see beauty in both sides. And I think I'm at a point now where I can appreciate kind of the flexibility I have with that. If I want to be pressed, I can be pressed. If I want to be kinky, I can be kinky. I think I'm beautiful both ways. But I do think, and I'm not going to put anybody that I love like that on blast, but I do know I grew up in an environment where, you know, my peoples are descendants of Madam C.J. Walker, hands down. Period. They co-signed on Madam C.J. Walker, and when I went natural, it was a shock to them. Mm-hmm. And they had a very hard time dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, my mother has, as long as my hair is styled, she's good. My grandmother is still in the place of conflict. She don't really know how she feel about it. It just depends. It's some style she's really on board with. If I'm wearing it like this, she's like, not so much, baby. You know? And so I just want to know what the panel thinks about that. Sisters, is you know, definitely our perspective, because it's us that are dealing with it, you know, unless you were brother that's, you know, just permed out like that, which, you know.
Sugar free.
Right.
Well, that's not necessarily true because I had locks for 4 years.
Okay.
I can't begin to tell you how differently I was treated. My own family was like, when are you getting rid of those?
Wow.
You know, and, I had a lot of old school members in my family who, that to them, that was a symbol of, I guess, an ignorant and horrible side of Black people to have your hair nappy. Mm-hmm. And so I think it can go both ways. But honestly, to me, when I had my locks, that was the most... I felt real... I loved myself the most, I think. Mm. I ever loved myself because I
You better bring those locks back.
Okay.
Oh, they're sweaty and heavy.
Man, easy loving yourself.
But I realized that this is what God made in me. Mm. And like, I had to accept that and be okay with that. And it was a really beautiful moment for me. Where it became problematic was that because society, you know, I guess because of the Rastafari movement and what it stands for, you know, people have been socialized to have a negative frame of reference for locks. But I absolutely find natural press. I don't know. To be honest with you, I just like, my thing is I like women that have their own hair. And the only reason why I like it is because I'm like, whether it's short or whether it's long, I just want to play in your hair. And I don't like to feel I'm sorry. I'd be like, I want to feel your hair. And if it's like 3 inches long, it's your hair and I can play in it. And like, that wears me out. Personally, I'm like, just love you for you. And if your hair is short, it's short. And it's long, it's long. But, you know, some people believe that they bothered this there. So, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
One of the things, like, I find interesting, and I saw the documentary Good Hair, and Tracy Thomas, the actress, she mentioned in there. And when she said it, like, it hit me to my core. She's like, you know, as a black woman, for me to wear my hair as it naturally grows out of my head is revolutionary. And there's a real disconnect between that because, you know, you ask people to be themselves. And she's not talking about wearing it natural without styling. Just to wear it natural, period, is supposed to be revolutionary. And, you know, that hit me in the way that I didn't know, only because I was brainwashed as a kid the opposite way. Like, I'm one of the darker people in my family. And so my mom set me down with Essence and Ebony as a kid and would pick out all the brown, Afrocentric, Afro-sheen people and be like, ooh, isn't she beautiful, Tash? Like, she would purposely, because she didn't want me to have this skewed sense of entitlement because I was light or for anything, you know what I mean? She just realized that there was a lot of image stuff, and her being like a light-skinned person herself, knew that there was a lot of things that people tried to assume about her for being pretty or having a certain type of hair just because she looked this way. And she felt as if she had to balance it in her children. And I appreciate it now because, honestly, like, I'm with Malcolm on the weave thing. Total, total turn off. I can do natural hair. I could do a fade. I mean, you got to have a bomb-ass face. If she has, you know, a fade, like, she has to be gorgeous. But the weave thing just for me is just like, I think of Beyonce just wearing horse hair. Like, I just think of a horse. Exactly. It's kind of, there's something, a part of it that's a little disjointed. But also, sometimes you don't know if it's a weave, too.
Good point.
I think this generation's insecurities have become the troubles of our younger generation, because I look at my students and literally I have sat and counted my African-American girls who wear their own hair. But when I talk to my African-American girls, who are saying that the black boys don't talk to them or don't want to date them, and when I talk to the black boys, the very first thing out of every little black boy's mouth, I don't like her because all the black girls wear weaves. And these little girls don't feel beautiful without having that hair in there, whether it blends or matches. I said the other day, if it don't blend, don't put it in.
That's right.
But they, and I fault their parents. I fault society, because there's no way in the world that a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old should be walking around with hair down to her butt if it ain't hers, especially if she's defining her own beauty on that. You know, the first thing they'll say, we're like, what's wrong with your hair? My hair's ugly. My hair's nappy. My hair's this. And so we have definitely created monsters. So it's definitely an issue. It is definitely, because our little black girls are walking with their heads hanging low. Hanging low.
That's a good point.
And I think the thing that's kind of crazy and I guess just unfair, but it's really nothing that can be done about it. It was one thing when you were at a school where the demographic was majority African American, so all you're being compared to are other little black girls. But now that we have high numbers of Hispanic students in school and their hair grows like grass and the texture is different, our girls are constantly feeling like their beauty is in contrast to somebody else's beauty and they feel less than because of it. And this now brings in the issue of color, because color is something that's always been, to me, central in our community when it came to us creating our own beauty standard. I'm going to say this. I know a lot of sisters. I can only think of one sister who is on the far spectrum of being on the darker hue, that is self-confident, walks in her queen, mm-hmm. her queendom, her queenliness, mm-hmm. And does not take issue or feel less than because of her complexion. I know far too many sisters who share the same hue with her and have had complaints about it. Mm-hmm. I have a relative of mine who was pissed at me because she was in my wedding and was like, I was the darkest one there. Mm. I said, well, first off, I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody chocolate. More chocolate than you, but you're also like,
no, you know, but she's also gorgeous.
Yes, but right, you're also yeah, like right. the most gorgeous person right. in the party aside from me. Right. So like, and you're my family, you know, because that's my family. She is, she's gorgeous. Right. But and that has all, and that's always been a point of contention between she and I. Mm-hmm. You know, she sees me, and I'm not a light complexion woman, right. but because I'm lighter than her, and she feels she just so black. And that her blackness is somehow not equated to beauty, it's an issue, mm-hmm. you know. And it becomes and the funny thing is, my grandmother is the product of an extremely fair-skinned mother and an extremely dark-skinned father. She came out chocolate with blue eyes. Has never considered herself beautiful, and my grandmother is gorgeous to me. But she's never seen it. And she would tell me her life was basically the reverse imitation of life. She go to school. People see her mama. That's not your mama. That's a white woman. That can't be your mama. And because her father died when she was two, there was no living proof to say, hey, if you put these two people together, it creates me. And now that she's a woman in her 80s, this is still something that she carries. So this, you know, the issue of color and hair is something that has weighted us.
True.
You know, and I think we have a tendency to pass it down. And I think that might be one of the things my cousin deals with.
It's also in the pop culture. Like, yeah. I think about at one point every, like, female pop, hip-hop artist, like, during the Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown days, all of them had called themselves the Black Pocahontas. Mm. And I really had found it funny that that was, like, their model
right.
of beauty, you know?
And now like, the new thing is the Black Barbie.
Oh, yes. I was just getting ready to say, Black Barbie has made a comeback.
But, I mean, we have an opportunity to uplift and appreciate those who go against that grain. And I don't think we
as black men or we as black people?
Just we as black people. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at, like, I'll just use, like, NDRE and Jill Scott as an example. I think they are absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous women.
Mm-hmm.
But they will never get as much play as a Beyonce. Now, granted, there are two different styles of their mm-hmm. artistry or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I look at, like, even our president and Beyonce, and I truly believe it's because of the hue of their skin, that really has elevated them to a level of success that certain people won't get to because mm-hmm. of their skin color. Mm-hmm. And we absolutely buy into that mm-hmm. as a culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we absolutely buy into that. And, you know, when I look at myself and how my family completely was just like, I mean, I've never received so many outright, overt, rude comments about my hair when mm-hmm. I had locks. And I couldn't understand why people couldn't just accept me for who I was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think we just have to, take those steps individually within our families, you know, and you have to mm-hmm. show your daughters, you know, this is beautiful, wear your hair however you want to wear it. We haven't celebrated how unique we are.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the number of times white people were just fascinated by the fact that my hair could even do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
the truth.
Absolutely.
Right? That's the truth.
And we don't celebrate it. We don't embrace it. We're, you know, because we're always trying to be like the majority culture. Mm-hmm. And I think if we just celebrate the differences and diversity, I mean, even if you look at this table, mm-hmm. we're all different hues and we all have different types of hair.
True.
And it's only, and only can happen with us as black people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we're so trying to be like this, and we're not celebrating that we can be anything we really want to be. So mm-hmm. if you want to have your hair pressed out, or if you want to have it locked up, or if you want to have it braided, you can do any of that. And we don't celebrate that.
See, I don't think that's true for everybody. I think it depends on the type of profession that you want to go into and mm-hmm. where you're headed in life. Because if you want to be, I don't know, let's not say an educator, but just choose any field, for example, you can't have your hair looking maybe too ethnic, you'll say, because they might want you to blend in and appear to be a certain way.
Mm.
When I was in high school, I was sitting at the bus stop with my friends, and they were bored, so they braided my hair and put it in cornrows. I went home and got grounded.
Mm.
And I was like, what on earth are you grounding me for? Like, my mom grounded me. I was like, what the hell? And she was like, you'll understand when you get older. Mm-hmm. And now being an older professional, I understand what she meant. And they look at us differently. Mm-hmm. And they stereotype us and typecast us when they see us and our hair fits a certain stereotype. And for every white person that you say looked at your hair and was amazed at how they did it, there was probably another one snickering behind your back because you appeared to be too militant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think.
But what is it about that that people assume that if you wear your hair naturally as it comes out or you style it in some type of natural hairstyle that you're militant or you are revolutionary? Well, what's wrong with being proud of with who you are? Like,
there's nothing wrong with it, but we're talking about the society.
Should we be trying to fit? Like, this is a perfect segue to like the segregation, which I'm calling. Like, should we really be trying to?
Because that becomes the question. Do you then say, okay, because I make these people uncomfortable, do I change what is natural to me to make them comfortable? Or do I say, to hell with them, go against the grain and do me and
hope it works out?
Well, the thing is, no matter how you come to the table, being a person of color, you're going to have to be better than the next man anyway to get noticed. Mm-hmm. So you can come pressed, you can come kinky, you're going to have to prove yourself and jump over some hurdles more so than the next man. So, I mean, that's the question. Do we just assimilate or do we...
Because I'm telling you, Michelle Obama, you will not see in braids. However, what I did appreciate is that the girls were in braids. She said this is part of who they are, and they can do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you'll see Michelle in braids. I don't know. Michelle might surprise
she
us.
She might.
Because she might go on vacation.
She go feisty.
Like,
right.
Hair is going in some braids.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would be a breakdown or a breakthrough, if you will.
And
it would be.
What, yeah. Really is, I don't know if is it really a breakthrough. We've been there.
Not for us, but for them.
I see what you're saying, but I think honestly the responsibility lies with us, because to be honest with you, if we as a people said, you know what, this is my hair, this is how my hair grows, it doesn't grow straight like yours, it grows and it curls up and it gets very, very curly, so you're asking me to become something that I'm not. I don't ask you to put your hair in braids so you look more like me. Mm-hmm. This is how my hair looked. And I just think that we have chosen to not fight that battle, right? Because I mean, this is a whole nother topic, but I think that we, specifically black people, have become more pacified and docile, and we're not fighting. We're very comfortable. We've reached that Upper East Side.
And in some ways, we're not even proud to be black.
We just do what we're told.
In some ways, we prefer we still espouse to look like Beyonce and to, I mean, like, I think about the amount of men who say they like exotic girls. Yeah. Black men,
What does that mean when you say exotic?
Come on now, right.
Half black and Asian.
Right. Whatever it is.
So Kamora Lee.
Right.
Right. Yes. A little more black, though.
A little more melanin. More. Okay. All right.
Yellow Puerto Rican.
You know what? It's funny.
Everything but black.
Right. I've been listening in on our conversation, and it's funny. I'm the only person here, I think, who's a hairdresser's brat, actually. And so hair, for me, in terms of an aesthetic, was always about diversity. You could be anybody that you wanted to be, you know what I'm saying? And it had to do with an aesthetic. So long hair, short hair in my family was style. It's short this week. I got a cousin who's tall, beautiful. She's light complected, and her hair is short and it's beautiful. I got a short cousin who talks a lot of shit. Her hair is long at this particular stage in the game. So that part of it was never, I didn't feel necessarily disparaged or out of the loop. I didn't feel any sense of intimidation as a person who was rocking the hair, because I had a hairdresser for a mom that was just the artistry that was coming out. Mm-hmm. But now, here's an interesting twist to that. When my mom and I were in Hawaii not too long ago, the big deal was to have all of the very moneyed, oftentimes European-esque brothers and sisters go have that hair braided up because they wanted to be exotic. When I was in the Bahamas, the same thing. Mm-hmm. All of the white women and the white children on the ship, mm-hmm. and God knows I'm not misrepresenting this, paid top dollar to have the Bahamian women braid that hair up into styles that we would now find to be socially unacceptable in the, you know what I'm saying, in the CEO office. You just like you were saying, Michelle Obama's probably not going to rock some braids unless she's on vacation. But what I'm saying, though, is have we tricked our own selves? Is this a conversation we don't really actually need to be having? Because you can change so much aesthetically. You can have different colored contacts if you want to. So then the question becomes, what do these things send as messages? What do they convey to the people that, you know what I'm saying, we're interacting with? Because that's really what I think has come up as, you know what I'm saying?
It's, yeah, and I really wish Sunny had been able to join us, because that's the other thing. I honestly think Black people and the diversity of our aesthetic has everything to do with how we relate to hair and color.
Yep.
How you look and how people perceive you based on what they see when they see you has everything to do with how you shape your reality and perception about what all that means. And I don't want to talk about him with him not being here. I'll speak of somebody else who's a similar person. I had a friend of mine who I went to both preschool and college with. Both of her parents were Black. You would not know it. You look at this woman and automatically assume she's biracial because her eyes are green, her hair is straight. When she wets it, it curls up. You see both her parents, they're both dark. And actually, I can talk about one of my best friends. He won't mind. Dub. Dub comes from a family, you know, his peoples are from Louisiana. And he is as light as you can get with hair that's as straight slash curly as it can get. And he can pass for, you know, pick a race, Armenian today, Puerto Rican today, Hispanic tomorrow. You know what I mean? But he's a Black man. And he has a very different perception than I do about race and color. I mean, we think the same. But because the world responds to him differently, because he is more of a chameleon in his look, he sees things differently than I would, who can only be Black. No matter what I do, you know, I might have somebody when I'm in New York speak to me in Spanish because they think I'm Dominican. But I'm always, I'm always Afro something.
Right.
You know what I mean? There never is an ambiguity about that.
Right.
You know, and so I think that has a lot to do with how we're related. And Stacey, I'm going to bring up a conversation you and I had when I was at Merkin. Sometime, and it goes back to what that sister said to me on Twitter about how Black women hate on her because she's light with curly hair. Mm-hmm. Having had challenging relationships with other Black women because they look at you and you are light.
Light skin.
With long hair.
With good hair.
Yeah, wait, with the good hair. The fact that that term even still exists in our community for me is so troubling. But then having a whole group of Hispanic children who relate to you more so than the Black kids, because they see you and your aesthetic is more in relation to them than others. You know what I mean? Like, can you talk about that a little bit? Not to put you on the spot.
The Hispanic kids relating to me more?
Well, feeling they tend, well, not that they relate to you more, but you being able to have a stronger relationship or a strong relationship with those girls because they can look at you. Right. They can see themselves in you, as where, let's say, one of our darker hued students with shorter, kinkier hair might see you and say, maybe Miss Brewer is Black. Maybe she's not.
Mm-hmm. I'll share a conversation I had with the little girl. I know you know about this. She came and she sat in my chair in my office and she looked me dead in my face and she was like, Miss, you're pretty. I'm like, okay, thank you. And then she asked to touch my hair, and I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, where are you going with this? She was like, are you Black? And I'm like, I'm mixed. And she was like, and she was asking about my parents. I told her they're both mixed. And she was just perplexed because she found me to be pretty, and I was Black. And she said that she didn't know any other Black females that were pretty. And so she was shocked and amazed.
Interesting.
And so a lot of the girls, for the most part, identify with me because they know that part of my ancestry is Puerto Rican. Yeah. But then also on the flip side, a lot of the Black girls can identify with me as well.
Right.
So I see it as a positive. I'm able to adapt to both. Both are able to relate to me. So I think that's definitely something that works to my benefit in my profession as a counselor. So. And then growing up too, like I existed between the margins, to be very honest. Like I was always too light for the Black crew, if you will, and obviously too dark for all the whites. So I hung out with all the mixed girls.
Right.
We were just the crew, and we kicked it. And it was what it was. So that's kind of how I've been raised.
I'm always perplexed, maybe because my mom is really light and has good hair. You know, her sisters are really
light.
I would
never know that, because Auntie Afi stays braided up.
Yeah. And always, and all her sisters are the same. And they seem to all have like gravity, but you know what? Now that I think about it, my grandmother could pass and did pass sometimes and married a really dark Black man. And I'm always amazed by, on both sides, on like black kids who enter a room full of white kids and feel lonely and isolated, and then light-skinned kids who enter a room and feel like they have acceptance in a white situation. Like, what makes up someone's culture or racial identity? You know, it's like, because for me, I feel as if I'm being incoherent. Essentially, for me, it's like you can be light skinned and have good hair and have all black friends. Dub.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you can be light skinned and have good hair and have all white friends. And to me, it seems like it's a shift in consciousness. It's a decision or an experience that says these people accept me, because every single one of us here is black people.
Right.
Know someone who can pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very regional. True.
It's regional.
True.
Right.
Keep in mind, that's true. Stockton, California.
Right.
Very, very different there in very different times.
It's very conservative, right? Or
much so. And I went to school on the north side, which was the quote unquote good side. Mm. So my experience was very different.
Culture. And that's so funny. That. In LA, like, we had a whole lot of people at our school, because I went to Laces. We had a lot of people who were biracial or multiracial, but you didn't know it necessarily until parent conference night. And then you'd be like, oh, dang, I didn't know your mother was white. Because you just, everybody, you know, black people just kind of gravitated toward one group. Didn't matter what your ethnic makeup was. Mm-hmm. I remember we had one girl who was like that odd black chick who hung out with all the white folks. Mm-hmm. And we always looked at her like, what is the situation there? her mother was white. And that's the whole separate conversation, being raised by a white mother versus a black mother and the sort of consciousness that puts on a person. Mm-hmm. But I honestly feel, even to this day, I would stand behind that. That was part of the reason why she was able to get along more so with them than with us. Mm-hmm. She didn't think necessarily like a black woman or a black girl. That wasn't her frame of reference. I think maybe coming from LA, we were so accustomed to diversity and everybody kind of having a different look. You didn't even necessarily assume a person was mixed. You were always, you know, pleasantly surprised, like, oh, wow, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, it's not like that everywhere.
Can I propose, just to stir up the pot a little bit, because I'm wondering how people subconsciously seek out mates based on.
I don't even know if it's that subconscious, Malcolm. No,
I know a lot of people who they consistently have light-skinned boyfriends or girlfriends, or light-skinned folks who consistently have dark skin. And I'm talking about like extreme, like, I prove to you that And, you know, and then, you know, I look at some of the relationships I've had, and I know that when I was younger, I was always teased for my hair, like, always. You got more naps than Japan got jabs.
Popular. I'm going to have to use that one.
And, you know, you don't know what that'll do to a person, right? So you start to think, well, I don't want, like, you start to get older, you're like, I don't want to have naps, and I don't ever want to have my hair like this. And so you start to say, well, how can I, if I don't have kids, if I get in this relationship, my kids will turn on like this. You know what I mean? It's kind of warped thinking.
Yeah.
But I think that starts to have an effect on people, and I'm just interested what the panel thinks about, like, how people are when it comes to relationships, or,
Well, I'll just throw this out here real quick. Yes, you know what you're attracted to. I mean, physically, you can feel it. But I think that once you start dating, you kind of end up dating the same type of person, too. Like, I just find myself like, oh, wow, she's just like her.
Offender.
Like, dang. I'm talking about personality. And so I think some of what you're talking about might also coincide with just repeating, being in a rut, but just in a pattern, and repeating that pattern.
And I really think it's specific to gender, too. I think men have a tendency to come up with a ideal prototype, and they will go through similar type of women till they find the one that fits and works with them. As where women, we are choice of what we want will change and shift with relationships. So I thought I want this until I figured out that this was an asshole. So now I want this, but with pieces of this. Mm-hmm. And that will continue to shape and mold itself until we find that partner. And so that's why I think men can say more unequivocally, I have a type. As where a woman can say, you know, I know I like these different things, but they won't necessarily date the exact same type of guy over and over again.
But I think we are repeated offenders. Definitely, yeah. We all fall into that. Well, not we all, but I have fallen into that, you know, same type of personality. But I can't say that I have a certain type, you know, because when they introduced Idris Elba, I was like, that's my type.
Right. That's it.
Y'all didn't see her with that. That's my type,
you know, because sometimes you don't know what you want until it's brought to you.
Right.
No
type.
That's it.
Exactly.
No type.
Different kinds of guys kind of feeling around trying to figure out what I'm into. I've dated many different.
I know light-skinned boys with green eyes was my business in the 90s.
Yeah, that was when light-skinned brother was in.
I know.
But those go back to those stereotypes. Because
it was brainwashing.
Yes, it did.
But where I grew up, see, light-skinned was soft and white. Light-skinned. He can't hold you down.
And it's funny.
That's so interesting that you would say that. That's so funny.
I often wonder, too, those of us who are kind of in the middle of the color spectrum, if our perspective... I don't know. I never felt like I had an issue.
Me neither.
I dated the full range of the spectrum, from light, bright, damn near white, to chocolate, and came right on back to crispy, golden brown. But, man, like, you know, I guess I get sad when I see anybody on either end of the spectrum feel bad about themselves or feel less than because they are on that end of the spectrum. Because on the opposite end of the chocolate sisters, I have one good sister friend who is a mixed woman. And as far as her complexion and her skin, it's very much that of her white side. And she said as a child, she would get so sad that she could not tan. Her skin doesn't do that. She does not have that amount of melanin. She just burns. And she said, I always just would just cry and cry and cry. And so, of course, her choice in the man is a chocolate brother. So she has all these beautiful little brown babies. And I guess up until her, I had never met a fair-complected black woman with that perspective. It really educated me. Mm-hmm. I learned something. Mm-hmm. I learned something. So on either end, I hate to see anybody feel like they're missing out or that they're less than because they can or cannot do or they feel they're perceived one way or another. But anyway, in summation, anybody have anything they want to say? Because John looked like, I want y'all Negroes out of my house. It's 10 o'clock on his
Right, Tuesday. Right.
I think it just depends on your upbringing, how you're brought up. Mm-hmm. I think depending on how your parents react
to... The level of ignorance in your
house.
Do your
parents... Yeah.
The level of ignorance in your house.
How are your parents' view of black people of different colors? Yeah. Do they have friends? Do they associate? Right. Like when you see their friends come through, are they all one color?
Right.
If they see somebody who's lighter or darker, do they make a comment?
Right.
You know, do they push your hair towards one way or the other?
Right.
I mean, and then it talks about history. I mean, my mom, she always would go back and teach me about, you know, that what happened before me, you know, our ancestors. And I just have an appreciation for being black. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be anything else. I love the fact that we are that diverse. Mm-hmm. And I know for a lot of us that is a crutch because we want to just fit in.
Right.
And being the fact that we don't have to fit in, some of us don't like that. Mm-hmm. Like, black people, I guess, want a standard. Like, what is the standard so I can try to be that? Mm-hmm. And because as it seems like we're blessed to not have one.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
A lot of us don't like that.
But we find ourselves are feeling the need to bend towards a Eurocentric standard. And it's so funny, I think about your family, baby, and it reminds me too of some members of my family. Now, my mother-in-law's side of the family is very, very fair skin. I remember when Chris and I started dating, I had a definite issue with that at the beginning. I'm like, is there a reason why everybody in your mama's family is just high yellow? Like, what's up with that? Like, y'all trying to keep the color? Like, what's up with that?
Right,
but
right.
Then his father's family are brown skinned people, but Creole. So,
interesting.
My little Afro self, I remember I went to one of the Layman family weddings, boy, with my hair Chaka Khan'd out. Them Creole people was looking at me like, oh, no, she did not come up in here on the arm of one of our people looking like that. Right. And that always cracked me up because they are the more brown skinned people. So I did not expect that attitude from them. But I mean, they're loving people. No disrespect at all. It's all good. I carry the last name. It's all good. But, you know, it's our people are interesting. I think we're blessed to be complex, and I think that we should not shy away from our complexity for anybody's comfort. You know, if anything, get comfortable with me. I'm here. I ain't going no damn where. So adapt.
And just so y'all know, a dreaded or a locked head does not a conscious brother and or sister make.
No.
Right.
And vice versa. You know what I'm saying? A perm brother and or sister does not necessarily, you know, the traditionalist make. You might have a revolutionary perm. So yeah, let's throw that in there.
Yes.
Amen, right. Church. Yes.
For the calls, oh, they put a fall. On that note,
people, thank you once again for joining the BI fam for another 10-minute break. Although we took about 40 minutes this time.
Really?
Oh yes. We love y'all. Peace.
Sorrow is so tomorrow coming later than usual, waiting on someone to pity us while we find the beauty in the hideous. They say money's the